Yeah, we want to welcome everyone who's here today, especially our visitors, and hope that every opportunity you have to come back and be with us again. Again, we encourage all men to just spend just a few minutes after church. We have just a couple of items we need to make a couple of decisions on. So if you could just give about another 5 or 6 minutes after church, that would be wonderful. Let's bow for a word of prayer together. Father, we are grateful for every blessing of life. We're grateful for your love and grateful for your giving us your word, the Bible. Grateful that the Bible is inspired, that in every verse, every chapter, every book is inspired, and that we can read it, understand it, and have the strength and the power that comes from reading your word. Bless us in our study this morning, we pray through Jesus, and amen. Now we have two scriptures that we're going to read this morning for our scripture reading. First is in Ephesians chapter 6. The second one will be in 2 Timothy chapter 2. So I'll give you a minute to get there. First from Ephesians chapter 6 and then 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now I want to turn over to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. I'm going to read this one verse, and that is verse number 3. Paul said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It is clear, it is evident, that in the history of our world, at somewhere, someplace on our planet, every single year, there has been a war. Maybe the country that we're in has not been involved in that war, but there have been wars. Sometimes there are massive wars that involve millions of people. Sometimes there are smaller conflicts. But war has been just a part of the human history. And everybody realizes how horrible it is. There's destruction of property. Lives are lost. Untold suffering. And the question often comes up, why? Why is there so much? James talked about it in James chapter 4. He says, whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members. Now James obviously is talking about in a spiritual sense, but we all know it's still true. People lust, or they want property, or they want to take over a country, they want to have certain things that are in other countries. And it is a terrible, horrible thing. General William T. Sherman, in an address to some students at Michigan Military Academy, made the statement that war is hell. And he said that only those people who have never fired a shot, those who have never heard the groans and screams of the men that they have been fighting with and they have had as friends, only those people are the ones who cry for more war, more lust, and more blood. He said people don't understand how horrible war is in life. And that's very, very true. But we need to remember that as bad and as horrible as physical warfare is, we are involved in a greater and a more important warfare. And that is the spiritual warfare. That is, we are fighting on the side of God, on the side of Christ, on the side of the Holy Spirit, and on the side of the apostles, and we are fighting against the devil and all of his allies and all those who support him. And there's several things that the Bible says that compares the Christian warfare that we want to look at this morning. First of all, if we're going to be involved in this warfare, we have to know our enemy. And our enemy is only one, and that is Satan. Peter said, your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. We also know that he uses deception. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, we are not ignorant of his devices, and that is of his tricks. And he said over in 2 Corinthians 11, as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning. He said, I'm afraid your thoughts may be led astray from simple and pure devotion to Christ. In fact, here in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, and some translations say against the schemes of the devil. He would do everything he can to trick you. He would do everything he can to fool you. He would do everything he can to swallow you up, as Peter says, as a lion seeking whom he may devour. He will use false teachers. And I know in our world today, people try to say this idea of false teachers is just not applicable. But it is. It is because Jesus warned about it. Jesus said in Matthew 7, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. In fact, Paul warned the Corinthian brethren and said, Satan is transformed into an angel of light. And we need to be aware of the fact that our enemy will do everything he can to fool you, to trick you, to lie to you, to get you away from God. And a good general knows their enemy. General Robert E. Lee was able to defeat many of the generals of the North in the Civil War because he knew those generals. He knew what their thinking was. He taught some of them at West Point, and he knew what those men were like. Because he knew his enemy, he many times had victory. We need to say, I can overcome my enemy, but I have to be aware of the fact that he is the enemy. My brethren are not the enemy. My brethren might make mistakes. My brethren may do things that are even sinful, but they are not the main enemy. The enemy is Satan himself. Secondly, if we're going to engage as Christian soldiers, if we're really going to be in the Christian warfare, we have to learn how to use our weapon. A number of years ago, I went to a recruiting station talking about the Christian soldier, and I wanted to talk to some people that really were soldiers. And I asked, well, what is the weapon that we're using today? What is the main weapon that a soldier today would have to learn? There were two recruiters there, and they got to an argument. One of them said the main weapon today is the M16. The other one said, no, it's not. He said, "What?" I said, well, what weapon is it? He gave some number of some type of weapon. The other one said, no, not, it's the M16. And the two of them was kind of falling out, so I'm just going to go with the M16 and say that's the weapon they use today. I don't know whether it is or not. But I know that as a Christian, I've got a weapon. My weapon is the Word of God. And Paul talked about taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I have to learn my weapon and know how to use that weapon. That means I'm able to give an answer to anybody who may ask me a reason for the hope that is within me, according to what 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. It means I'm able to say that I can show people where this is taught in the Word of God. When someone says, why do you do what you do in worship? I can go to the Scripture and say, this is why. When someone says, why do you believe what you believe? I can go to the Scripture and say, this is here where we find it in Scripture. When someone asks me to defend myself, I can use my weapon, that is the Word of God, and I can use it effectively to answer the questions that people have. And you remember that the reason we have that is what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 4. We said, well, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit. We need to keep in mind that that is our only weapon. Now, as we talked about this morning, there are some books of history, and they're fine. There are some books of other types that are good to read and have from time to time, but the main weapon we have is the Word of God itself. Other books may help, but the Word of God is the weapon that we need to read, have, and to use. So often in life, people say, well, I just wish I knew the Bible. But you can learn it. You can understand it. You can read it. I ask you the question, do you read anything throughout the day? And you know you do. You read things all through the day. And people say, well, I'd like to memorize the Bible, but I just can't memorize it. Yes, you can. Do you know your phone number? Yes, you do. Do you know your address? Yes, you do. Do you know your spouse's birthday? You better. The fact of the matter is there are hundreds of items that we memorize and we know, and we have memorized those things, and we can do the same with the Word of God. It's because we aren't familiar with it, because we haven't put in the time, we haven't put in the effort to memorize it, that we don't know it. But we need to know how to use that weapon. And thirdly, the Christian soldier must be willing to fight. And there have been times when people have looked at great armies, and they've been in parades, and they look so nice, and the helmets are shiny, and the guns are shiny, and the men and women can march in line together. But that's not the purpose of an army. The purpose of an army is not to be in a parade. The purpose of an army is to fight the enemy. Paul said that in 1 Timothy 6. He said, fight the good fight of faith. You have to be willing to be in the heat of the battle. Now, there's no doubt, I've never been in the service. Some of you, many of you have, but I've never been in the service. But I do know by reading that for everybody on the front line, there are dozens of people behind them in support of the person on the front line. But it means that you've got to have some people that are willing to actually fight. They're willing to go out there and say, this is the battle, I'm willing to fight it, and I'm willing to do everything I can for the cause of Christ. We fight the battle in two ways. First of all, we fight the battle by our lives. Your life is the greatest sermon that will ever be preached. Your attitude about Christ, your attitude towards life, your attitude towards people, all comes down to the fact that, am I willing to be more and more like Christ? What is the attitude of Christ? Will I be like Jesus, so people can see Jesus living in me? Will I really be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Can people really see Christ living in me? Is he first in my life? That is the first way that we fight the battle. Secondly, we fight the battle by preaching the gospel. And there are times when people say, well, preaching doesn't do any good. Really? Then why was Jesus Christ a preacher? Why, when God had but one son, why did he have to come down here and be a preacher? If preaching doesn't do any good, why did Peter and Paul and all the apostles go out preaching? If preaching doesn't do any good, granted, there's going to be a lot of people who will be rejected. Jesus said that. He said, straight as the gate, narrow as the way, and few that be that find it. A lot of people are going to reject it. You find that all through the book of Acts. You find people obey the gospel, but you find a lot of them have rejected it. And it will happen today. So when somebody says, well, I tried to invite my neighbor, I tried to invite my friend, I tried to invite my coworker, but they just aren't interested. Well, people won't be. Some people won't. But you keep talking to people, you keep asking people, keep asking and asking and asking, and somebody will eventually want to hear about the gospel of Christ. I don't know who that person is. It may be a co-worker, it may be a friend, it may be somebody that you just casually know, but you keep working and somebody will want to hear about the gospel of Christ. But we have to be willing to get into the fight. And fourthly, as a Christian soldier fighting the Christian warfare, we are confident of victory. General Douglas MacArthur said, in war, there's no substitute for victory. And in the last 35, 40 years, there have been times when America has substituted something else, political rhetoric, for victory, and that's just not the case. You send soldiers to fight a warfare, and they do it to have a victory. People give their lives so that we can win that battle, so we can win that war. But sometimes people say, oh, that's not what we're trying to do. Well, then it's not a war. But in the Christian warfare, there is going to be victory. The whole theme of the book of Revelation is we will win. We know who's going to win. Christ is going to win. God is going to win. He's going to overcome the devil. We know that's going to be the case. Paul said, I do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to remember that John said, this is the victory, even he that overcomes the world, even our faith. We can win. We will win. Granted, there will be disappointments along the way. Granted, there will be some ups and downs. Granted, you're going to have things that happen that are not pleasant. Granted, there's going to be some people who will leave the faith. Paul had that happen. Paul had even one of his co-workers, Demas, leave the faith. All these things can happen and will happen. Jesus had one apostle that betrayed him. And all this can happen in life, but we will win. It is the case that Christians are going to win. So rejoice in that. Sometimes people say, I just don't know if it's worth it. Yes, it is worth it. Every time it is worth it. You stay faithful. No matter what you've got to do, you stay faithful. No matter what you've got to give up, you stay faithful. No matter who will turn their back on you, you stay faithful. No matter how hard it is, no matter how many tears you shed, no matter how disappointed you might be, you stay faithful because you will win. We have to be confident of the victory. Paul said to the Corinthians, even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Christian soldiers, arise. Put on the armor of God. Stand for the fight. Stand for what's right. And one day you will hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Will you enter God's army today? We're going to sing the invitation song. If you've not entered the army of God, that you would. Jesus is called the captain of our salvation. I hope that you will surrender to the captain of our salvation. That you will put on the armor of God, that you will fight the good warfare. Fight the good fight. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, believe in Christ, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, be immersed in the water for the remission of your sins. Rise, walk with the newness of life. Rise, walk as a member of God's body, a member of the Lord's church. Whatever your needs might be, if you need to dedicate your life, whatever you need today, we invite you to come, we encourage you to come while we stand and while we sing.